We live with the knowledge that everything dies, even our own sun. And just as we don't look directly at the sun, we don't always deal directly with death. Often it's not a subject people want to discuss. Reporter Dina Pritchup tells us about a new movement that's trying to change that, along with a serving of tea and cake.
The fear of death haunts us like nothing else. And it makes sense. All other fears, public speaking, centipedes, kind of pale in comparison. And so we don't really talk about it. But John Underwood, a British web designer and self-styled death entrepreneur, is trying to bring death into the conversation.
In continental Europe, there's a tradition of meeting in a public place to talk about important and interesting subjects. So there's a Café Philo, which is a philosophical café, and a Café Scientifique. And Bernard Cretaz, he's a Swiss sociologist, set up a Café Mortel, or a death café.
Death café isn't a physical café. It's more like a temporary event. Underwood held his first death café a year and a half ago in his basement. He set out tea and cake, and his mother, who happens to be a psychotherapist, helped facilitate. And since then, he's been working to launch the idea as a worldwide movement.
When people sit down to talk about death, the pretense kind of falls away, and people talk very openly and authentically, and they say things in front of strangers which are really profound and beautiful. And for English people to do that with our traditional stiff upper lip is very rare.
Underwood set up a few very loose guidelines for death cafes and launched a website to serve as a clearinghouse. And now, over 60 death cafes have been held across the world, from Columbus, Ohio to Eastern Australia. On a recent Saturday in Sebastopol, California, an hour north of San Francisco, about 40 people have shown up to take part. It's mostly aging boomers, but not entirely. There's even a couple on a date. Angela Hennessy brought her 7-year-old son to talk about the death of his great-grandmother.
In the long run, my hope is that that eases the fear and the strain for him and his understanding of what it means when someone dies.
At another table, Karina McFarland discusses the generational flip side, talking about funeral details with your parents.
If we attempt to broach the subject with my mum, she'd just go, "You're trying to get rid of me?" And that's really her response. So she doesn't want to have the conversation, so we're having the conversation, and it is changing how we're dealing with the dead in our family.
People don't feel they have an audience that's open to having this discussion.
Linda Sinyard is facilitating this death cafe. It's the third she's hosted. Sinyard grew up in Alabama, with home funerals where the dead were laid out right on the table. But when her own son died 6 years ago, it was a different landscape.
A lot of us had sort of put dying and death, and definitely grief, into these very secretive closets because we weren't welcomed into the conversation.
Sinyard thinks the death cafes have been so popular because there is this hunger among people to open that closet. And when they do, says death cafe advocate John Underwood, it ends up being a bigger conversation.
When we acknowledge that we're going to die, it falls back on ourselves to ask a question, well, in this limited time that I've got, what's important for me to do?
And as the death cafe movement expands, talking about everything from advanced care directives to grieving rituals, it ends up not being so much about how we die, but how we live. For NPR News, I'm Dina Pritchup.